What an honor it is to be back with you this evening. I'm always grateful when my brothers open their doors to me to allow me to minister all day. It's a blessing, and it's an honor to me to always be here at First Assembly. A lot of our ministry that we have now, believe it or not, was birthed from my time with that man sitting. Where'd he go? Anyway, he went out. With time and prayer with Pastor Bracken, suggesting to him things the Lord is speaking to me, and saying, what do you think? Asking him, how do you feel about this, brother? And he was always honest with me, and most of the time he was encouraging. There were times when he said, you got to be kidding. Thank God for good friends who are honest with you. But I need to explain to you what I do now. The anointing was so strong on me this morning, I just started preaching. So let me tell you what we're doing. I have an organization called His Missions International. It's part of our corporation, which is called Today's Christian Life Ministries. And Today's Christian Life Ministries is the video side of the ministry, and His Missions International is the mission side, and that's where we concentrate mostly. Right now, we are planting churches in Sierra Leone, Africa, West Africa, in a war-torn area that is just getting back on its feet. We are out in the bush, so we go out in the bush. The first church we planted was an area called Mumbawa. Now, Mumbawa is a city that had been, a village that had been praying for 18 years for God to send somebody to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were just two Christians in the whole village. And they had prayed all these years that God would send somebody. And God gave me a mighty vision, a literal vision. And in that vision, I was standing behind Jesus. Behind him. Now, remember that. And this beautiful face, as Jesus was doing this, his hand was going back and forth, back and forth. He didn't say anything at that point. And it's this beautiful face comes up and looks at me right above his head and says, Mumbawa. And then the face got much closer to me and said, with great passion, Mumbawa. And I thought, well, I had too much spaghetti the night before, honestly. So as soon as she said that the last time, the Lord said, don't be fearful, David, I will be with you. Now, I've been waiting and listening for God's voice for 5 years. I've been down in Florida in a very dry time in my life. I knew His voice. I'd heard His voice. And when He said to me, David, meet me at noon earlier that day, I knew that I was going to meet my destiny. And when the vision happened, I was in my car. I drove home and I opened my computer to Google Earth and I Googled Mumbawa. And the earth started to move and I started to tremble. Because that meant this was real. That I wasn't suffering from the spaghetti or the pizza the night before. And that God, I did not hear Mungawa like Tarzan used to say on the TV program. I heard Mumbawa, which is a real place, in a real time. The earth began to turn. Next thing I know, it's in southwestern Sierra Leone, and the word Mumbawa is on the screen of my computer, and I began to tremble again. I called some pastor friends of mine, and to make a long story short, 8 months from that day, I walked on to the ground in Mumbawa. And the end result was we won 350 Muslims to Christ. We saw them come out of the darkness of the lie called Allah into the life of Jehovah God. And they are now in the different villages, they are now serving the Lord. A church was planted that day in Mumbawa. We put the church under a pastor named Matthew Kamara. Today, the church runs over 200 with a large contingent of young African men and women who are like his youth ministry. Matthew is working with three other villages, holding Bible studies in those villages, all on $35 a month and a little motorcycle we bought him. He called me not long ago and he says, "When are you coming back?" I said, "I'm hoping to come back in March. Lord willing, and the funds come in, I'm coming." And he said, "Fantastic." I said, "Let's plant some more churches." And he says, "How does three sound?" And I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yes, sir." Excuse me. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." And I said, "Let me give Papa God take ye. Hallelujah." And he said, "Okay." So I called the director, the bishop over Sierra Leone that works for our ministry. And I said, "John, you ready? We're going to plant three churches." He said, "What?" I said, "We're going to plant three churches outside Mumbawa in three different villages. Are you ready?" He said, "If that's what you say, let's go." So in about 3 weeks from now, I'm flying to Africa, to Sierra Leone. We'll be in Freetown for a couple of days because I got to teach a pastor's conference and then a leadership conference. And then I'm going from there to the bush. We'll be in the bush for about 10 days. That whole time I will be working with new chiefs of new villages. I will be delving into more of Islam. Hallelujah. Having become quite an apologist of late, because of all this, I didn't mean to be, but I've become one. And an apologist means someone who explains the difference between different religions and has an understanding of, a great understanding of what it means for us to be Christians and the difference between Christians and Islam. I have a friend that can take you in the Quran and show you Jesus Christ and the prophecy that says he will be he is the Son of God and he will be the Savior of the world in the Quran. They refuse to read that, but it's in there. I told him, I said, "I don't want to know that much about the Quran, because the more I know about the Quran, the more dangerous life is for me." I said, "If I can say to them, 'Oh, I didn't know that,' I'm better off in that scenario over there." The people in Islam I've met over there are nice people. They're not aggressive. They're what you call cultural Islam. They're nice people. But they serve a no God, a dead God, a God that somebody made up many, many years ago. And when you show them the reality of Jesus Christ, they get all excited. So that's what we're doing. And that's where I'm going here in about 2 or 3 weeks. As soon as I get my visa in and we finish raising a little bit more money we need to raise. So that's what I do. People were asking, wondering maybe what I do. Somebody said, "Well, he's an evangelist," and so forth. I've been an evangelist since the day I got saved. All right? I've been a pastor. I've been a missionary. I've been a minister abroad. I'm David, and that's all that counts. I'm a man that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I haven't stopped since. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I used to love titles, and then got so many I was overweighted with titles, and I'm just not into that mess anymore. People call me titles I don't even have, don't even claim anymore. Just call me Dave, and we'll go from there. Let's all stand. Let me read the scripture to you this evening, verses 1 through 10. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God, hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, and with which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime where ye lived in the past," in them rather. "But now ye also put off these things." Now listen carefully here, because I'm not going to mention these again. "Anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put the old man, put off the old man, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against the other, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the Word of God dwell in you. Lord, bless the Word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question tonight as we get started. Whom do you represent? Whom do you represent? I like that, but don't go there yet because we're not there yet, okay? We're going there, brother, with the new pancreas. We're going there, but not yet. I have to do my... This is 10 minutes of my sermon. Now stop it. Who do we represent? I'm going to have some fun with y'all, everybody. All right? We're going to have a little fun tonight. I told Pastor we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. Then I was going to preach till I dropped, okay? No. This morning when you got up, and some of us are going to have some fun with this. Got up in the morning, what's the first thing you did? Well, I know what I did. You know, I'm 60 years old. I'm still young and, yeah. No, I'm not. And I'm pretty wore out, and there's a lot of stuff sagging these days. But you go in there in the bathroom and you look in the mirror, don't you? I mean, come on, let's be honest. We go in and we go on in, we grab each side of the sink and we... How many of you know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Some of you ladies are getting the tape out, taping it all up. Some of you young folks are looking around. And, whoa! Some of us older folks are looking around. Are both of my eyes still there? Yeah. My teeth there? I just put them in. They're there. Hallelujah. Do I need to shave? Am I going to go see anybody today? You know what I'm talking about? So finally you decide that you got to really get dolled up. So you start doing your thing. Men are standing there. Oh, no. Daggone it. Where's that septic pencil? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we're making ourselves look good. Then you got the ladies. Oh, my goodness. Doing that stuff and painting this, making these things pop out more, and doing all the stuff. We'll talk about all the stuff the ladies do. I get to preach at a lot of black churches. Can I have some fun for a minute? We're going to have some fun. The other day, I was at a black church, pastored by a white guy. Now, that's really a cool story there. But I love it because I told this story. I didn't preach a sermon, but I told this story as an introduction. And I said, yeah, it's like our sisters, you know, in the morning. They go in the bathroom. You're going to love this. They go in the bathroom, and they're looking. They said, how pretty. Now, the sisters you see aren't the ones they see in the mirror in the morning because you see somebody entirely different. They're looking and they see how pretty they are. But they look over here and decide, trying to decide what wig to wear. Am I talking right or not? You know what I'm talking about. There's the short one. There's the curly one. There's the one that looks like Doris Day. But it's black hair. And there's another one that's got all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm staying with a dear friend of mine, Brady Sheeler. You remember Brady. Brady's the director for Royal Rangers in the district. He's a big wheel in the district, you know. Well, he and his wife are loving. We're dear friends. We've been buddies for years and years. Well, Sheila's got this new wig, and it's all curly cue. I said, Sheila, how did you choose that one today? She said, Brother Dave, I got four wigs. And I said, was that enough? I said, go get me one. I could use one. I asked this lady the other day, I said, can you put rose in me? Can you make extensions for me? Braided. I was going to do it if she was going to do it. Come, wouldn't I look cool with long white extensions? Yeah, I thought they have to be white because my hair is white. But see, it doesn't matter what you do when you're getting ready. If you got to pull one of those off and punk it on, some of us wish we could thunk some stuff on. Listen, I saw one time that was plastic. You ever see one of those? This girl, I'm not kidding, I was in a prayer line, and this lady walks up for prayer, and she's got this perfect hair. Well, to be a minister and you pray for the sick, you've got to be careful where you put your hands. So it. Nope. She says, don't touch that. I just had that put on. I said, what is it? She says, it's like a cap, but it's plastic. And I looked, and lo and behold, it was plastic. What is next? But we do all this stuff, and we paint the barn, and we sit there, and we try to move our chins around. But we're doing this all so we can represent ourselves when we emerge from the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about? We emerge. Honey, how do I look today? Oh, excuse me, guys. Honey, do I look better today? And you better lie. No, I didn't say that on the pulpit, did I? Sorry. Don't lie, but if you want to live, you better compliment. Oh, you're beautiful, honey. You know. But we do all that to represent ourselves. We spend more time preparing ourselves to represent ourselves than we spend time to represent the Lord. We go to college and get degree upon degree upon degree upon degree. So we got all these crazy titles. We go to this school and that school, this leadership thing, that leadership thing. And next thing you know, you've got certificates all over the wall, but you don't have anything because you're representing yourself wherever you go. Hello, I am the Reverend Dr. David O. Baldwin, CCP, CQP, CFCC. That's all I can remember right now. Who cares? Take a Marine. Marine signs the paper. He's no longer called by his name. He's called recruit. He reports to Paris Island. He's called all kinds of things, but he's never called his name again. He is Marine. He is private. He is a lot of other things. But he totally loses his identity because he is a Marine. Now, I'm going to take you someplace tonight that you think you've been before, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take you there and wring you out and bring you back out because this is where we need to go. The Marine lives his life being called private, being called corporal, lance corporal, being called sergeant, master sergeant, first sergeant, sergeant of whatever you call it. And then one day when he gets out of the Corps, he's not retired. He's just out of the Corps. So he forever carries that label, Marine. Same with the Army, the Navy, and all the other guys. There's a full commitment. Y'all listen. There's a total commitment to the Marine Corps. To the place where they will go to Afghanistan and lose their lives for us because they're Marines. They die for you and me. Do you understand that? But first they die for their buddy. They die for their buddy. You see, if two Marines are standing next to each other and a grenade comes right in front of them and it depends out of it, they're going to argue who jumps on the grenade. But one will to save his buddy's life. They represent the Marine Corps. They are the United States Marines. And when they stand, they stand. Together, they are a hard line to break. They never give up the flag. They are the United States Marine Corps. Or the Army, or the Coast Guard, or whatever. Would to God that we had that much dedication in representing Jesus Christ and the church we attend. Give God praise for that. Amen. We should represent Christ. Now I'm going to get real literal with you now. And I'm going to share some verses you already know, but I'm not sure you know them to this extent because when this hit me a while back in my prayer time, it knocked me out. I've been quoting these scriptures all my life. I have preached on these scriptures, but the Holy Spirit says, I want to show you the literalness of these scriptures. So permit me to be literal tonight, if you don't mind. For clarity's sake, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to show you something. You can quote this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. All right, all you dead people. How have you changed as a new person since you got saved? Now, that's the literal focus on that. I am new. I am in Christ. Who I was, I am no more. I'm repeating what I said this morning, but we need to get this in perspective. Revival does not hit you until you realize who you are not any longer. If I'm in Christ, I'm brand new. I wish I could open your head and pour that in, because we don't think we're brand new. I am not the person I was 34 years ago. I am not that person. I'm not going to take what was from my past and pull it behind me so that I can revert back to that. I feel the Holy Ghost. My goodness gracious. My. Excuse me while I have a blessing. Yes! My goodness. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, help me teach this. I forgot what I was going to say. That is so nice. There it is. All right. There it is. Well, that's for somebody. Let's go home. Woo! I'm brand new. We don't believe it. We don't believe we're new. Yeah, my skin's wrinkled. If I lost weight, I'd be even more wrinkly. So I got news for you guys that are a little plump like me. And your minds don't lose weight. You'll get all wrinkled up. You're in good shape. Me and you, buddy, we're in good shape. All right, here's the deal. Don't let Satan remind you of your past. I've heard that before. Let me tell you something. He will literally remind you who you used to be so he can stop you from believing you're new. And your own actions will create a question inside your own life as to who you are now. Are you new? If I told you you were blessed and highly favored of God, would you believe it? No. You don't believe it, because I'll tell you why. You're convinced in your own spirit that you have not transformed into that new person that God wants you to be. If you were, then you'd be speaking the word instead of doubt. You'd be looking at this economy around us and say, I'm sorry, you're not going to control me. God's going to control me, and it's to His economy I will answer. It's to His word I will answer. It's to His church and His leadership I will answer. I will not answer to you. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. I am born again. I'm a brand new creature in Christ, and I will not go back. There you go. I will not go back. I will not go back. I've been there. I'm not going back there. Dear ones, please listen to me. Stop letting him drag you back to where you were. That's a religious mentality. I'll go back until I can go to church and feel better. No. You're born again. This is all, that mess is over. You don't have to give yourself to those lies anymore. Well, it's over. It'll be over someday. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It'll be over when, oh, that's a lie. Born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You are not the same. And we must start living that we are not, as though we are not the same as we were. And do you know what the scripture says? We go from glory to glory to glory. Now I'm going to give you a real zinger. A lot of us like to live the way we used to live because we find comfort in the pity that we get from the people around us. Now that is sin. That is manipulation. We don't do that. You say you're born again, then act like it. You say you're spirit filled, then act like it. Oh, here comes another one. Don't let yourself be deceived. People get all wrapped up in themselves. They blame it on the devil. No, it's bad decisions. I want to go back living the way I lived before. A group of Africans told Matthew that. They wanted to go back to sacrifices. They wanted to go back to worshiping the trees and get back in animism and all that other mess. And Matthew pointed that bony finger at his and he says, that is of Satan and I will not have it in my village. That night they came after him with their machetes. You see, they don't have a real value of life there. And they were going to cut him to ribbons before preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He ran his little legs off. And by the time he got to Mumbawa, the paramount chief and all his army were there. Guess what happened to those boys? They made room for Matthew to come in. And Matthew came in and they closed ranks. And they said, okay, come on. What do you want? Those boys are all in jail now. Thank you, Jesus. They didn't kill them. I'm so glad of that. They're all in jail. You see, Matthew has not forgotten who he is. And because of the difficulties and circumstances of this life, they have not fallen back. People say to me, Dave, you're one of those faith guys. Yes, I am. You're one of those faith guys. You believe in things you can't see. Yes, I do. You believe in things you can't feel. Yes, I do. You believe in things you can't see or feel. Is that right? Yes, I do. I believe with all my being. When I was walking into the camp in Mumbawa that one night, there was four witches and they were trying to put a potion on me that would have eaten through my coat, my shirt, and into my skin and eaten up my arm. They were wanting to kill me. And after I'd gone through that, they couldn't touch me. Something was happening to them as I was walking through. And after we finished all we did in Mumbawa, about 6 months later, Matthew calls me on the phone. He says, Pastor. I said, Matthew. He said, I have a story for you. I said, okay, slow down so I can understand you. He said, I was visited by four witches. I said, hallelujah, what did you do? He said, no, it was about you. I said, I didn't see any witches. The ones we did see, you guys cast the devils out of them. They came to the altar and got saved. This is what their story was. This is what Matthew told me. He said, they said, you know, can we come see you? He said, sure, come see me. And they were standing in front of him and they said, when the white man came, the man of God from the U.S., we knew he was coming. And we were real excited about that because we wanted to kill him. I didn't know I had a number on my back. Glory to God. Come on, devil. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And I'll tell you why. They said, we had placed ourselves in the group of people so when he came by, we could touch him and wipe this curse on him. Every time we went to touch him, because other people were touching him, every time we went to touch him, something knocked our hands back. And we got up to the next one, he knocked my hands back. And the lady said, we knew the white man was coming from the U.S., but who was that tall white man standing next to him that was all shiny and kept banging our hands back? And Matthew said, I couldn't wait to tell him that that was your angel, Pastor, and that he goes everywhere you go. And I said, Matthew, you tell them, oh, yes, every time when I get there, that angel's with me, and they better not get anywhere near me. Real angels working on my behalf. I didn't see them, but they did, and I'm so glad those evil women saw it, because as soon as he said that was an angel from heaven, walking with Pastor Baldwin, they hit their faces on the ground and they confessed their sins. They got saved. They went home and got all their junk. And Matthew burned it. He burned it up to nothing. He burned it to nowhere. Matthew knows without a shadow of a doubt that he is no longer living in the world. He is saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. He put his life on the line so that he could be an example to those that are around him, because he believes, behold, all things are new. That's the real thing. When I was in Russia, I was in the airport, and they had gone to check out my visa and all this mess. And the lady's walking back, and she's got a Russian soldier with her. And they walk like this, and then they turn, and they walk like that. And when they did that, he cocks his gun just like that and walks right up to me like that. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, if this guy's going to shoot me, praise God, I'm coming home. As soon as he got about 2 feet from me, he went like this and went the other way. He did that just to intimidate me. Now, I could have said when I got home, I could say, I quit. They put me in, they locked me up anyway, but I quit. He didn't shoot me. If any man's in Christ, our problem is we are worried about the things of this earth. And we're not concerned about the things of God. We're not seeking, as the scripture says in Colossians, those things above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. We're not into that. We get so wound up in ourselves. Here it comes. We get so wound up in ourselves that we forget we're supernatural people in a body. We forgot about that, didn't we? You can't be born again and be the same person. You're supernatural living in a body. Some of us got beautiful bodies and the rest of you, well, I'm sorry. But we're supernatural inside. We're not natural people anymore. How can we be born again and be natural? We live a supernatural life, so we should act like we have a supernatural thing going on inside. That's why we should have no problem being the men and women of God we're called to be. We have to believe. We have to believe something powerful is working in us. I quoted this scripture this morning, Galatians 2:20. If any man be in Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Listen to this. If you have doubts about what I'm saying, if you still have a religious mentality, listen to this. If you call Jesus Savior and Lord, listen to me carefully. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Wait a minute. Not me, not my ego. Not the old David, not the one that did all the stuff, that got all the awards and all that other trash, not that guy. I live, yet not I, but Christ, the Anointed One, lives in me. Are you listening to me? He's alive in you and I. If you just believe that, you'd set this city on fire. Because you'd be different. You wouldn't be like you are, maybe. You'd be different. You'd go to where they needed you and you'd speak the Word of God. It's the Word that changes lives. It's not your doctrine. It's not your dogma. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that changes people's lives. It's the Word of God that changes the city. It's the Word of God that changes the state. It's the Word of God that I'm looking to change the whole continent for Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. Not how pretty you are, how good you are when you speak. It's the Word of God separates the bone from the marrow. I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, I went to that cross with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, listen to this, but Christ lives in me. Watch this. And the life that I now live, hold on, here it comes. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not alive. He's alive in me. The life which I now live, I live by faith, which pleases Father, in the Son of God, who loves me and gave Himself for me. I receive the death of Christ. Hallelujah. I go to the grave with Him. I come out of the grave with Him. Yeah, hallelujah. And when I come out of the grave with Him, I'm alive. But I'm more alive than I've ever been in my life. I'm more powerful than I've ever been in my life. I've got the anointing of God like I never thought I'd ever have. There is something supernatural working in the group of people who believe that they're not alive but in Christ. Their life is over. Their new life is in Christ. Every breath you breathe, He breathes it on you. Every thought you have, it's the mind of Christ. Everything you do, it's because of Him. When you go in the name of Jesus, He is in you, working His goodwill and pleasure, and you are walking from glory to glory, and things begin to happen that you don't even realize. People begin to get healed, you have no idea happens. People begin to get set free in their mind because they sit and listen to you talk, or preach, or whatever. I get letters from people, I get calls from pastors, Brother Baldwin, there was a lady in our church. We didn't know she was dying of cancer. We found out 2 days before you came. And today, she got a message from the doctor. There's no cancer in her body anywhere. And I didn't touch her. I didn't lay hands. I didn't do anything. Because Christ rose up in her and took that cancer and threw it away and healed her body. You see, that's what you have to look forward to. It's no longer I that lives. Who do you represent? Yourself? Well, then die in yourself. Who do you represent? Christ, the anointed one. You represent Jesus. Then you live with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. So powerful at times you don't know which way to go. So powerful at times it feels like there's water surrounding you. So powerful at times you wish that, God, this is wonderful. I asked for this. But Lord, I find myself in the midst of a great big group of people, and I'm praying for all these people, and I'm looking, and you're everywhere. You're everywhere, and things are happening all over the place. It's beyond me. And He said, yes, that's right. It is beyond you. See, this is the stuff that people in revival get involved in. This is it. I confess my sin. I stood up in the Anointed One in Christ. And tonight, we're learning what to do once you stand up. We learned this morning that God will provide for you. We learned this morning that He'll give you perseverance. We learned this morning that we're supposed to wear the garment. And now tonight, we're getting reinforced. You have a right to do these things because you took off the old and put on the new. One guy said to me after a service not long ago, he said, well, Brother Baldwin, we still have the carnality, the carnal man to deal with. I said, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You put the Word in you and the carnal man gets smaller and smaller and smaller every day. You're so interested in the carnal man. Why don't you go have lunch with the carnal man? And I'm going to go have lunch with Jesus. What do you want to do? Which one is up to you? Huh? You tell the carnal man, get down. The one you feed the most is the one who's going to bother you the most. Just like an old nasty dog. You throw all the mess to the nasty dog, he's going to get bigger and stronger. You give what little bit of attention you give the Lord to the little puppy, he's going to turn over and die. He's going to be belly up. But if you quit feeding that big old nasty dog and you start feeding yourself, the Word, things begin to happen. You look at your wife and your wife looks different to you, buddy. And that's something special. You look at your husband and he looks different to you. He's even pretty now. You don't see that big old belly hanging over there. Thank God for that. You don't see that he doesn't have all his hair anymore. She married me, I had a full head of black hair. Can you believe it? I was pretty. I'll never forget that night we went to Billy Graham Crusade and Karen and I took hands as a young married couple and walked the aisle. Brother Graham looked down at us, his blue, cold eyes of his. And then this little tiny Baptist guy came over and said, do you want to get saved? He's cute as he could be. I could have kissed him. I said, yeah, I want to get saved. Left there 2 Wednesdays later, went to church, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. My life changed totally thanks to Billy Graham. All right, I don't know what time it is, but I got 3 points for you. Ready? Number one, how can you get to the place where you represent Jesus in what you do in this life? Number one, you must surrender. Let me read a couple of things to you before I do this. I think it's important. A.W. Tozer wrote this. In the midst of this great coldness toward God, there are some, I rejoice, who deliberately long after God. They want to taste, to touch with their hearts and see with their eye, their inner eye, the wonders of God. People who want to represent Jesus, there's 4 qualities they have. Number one, they are eager to represent the one who breathed life back into their dead existence. He breathes life right back into their dead existence. They realized that they were indebted to the one who breathed life back into their dead existence. See, without Christ, you're dead. You're no good to anybody. Except to the world, Satan, you're serving Satan. You're not serving God. They're indebted. Number three, people who want to represent Christ have a readiness of mind to start thinking properly. Because it's so easy to think wrong. Isn't it? And lastly, they're shameless. People who want to represent the Lord are shameless because they're willing to do whatever He says, whenever He says it, wherever He wants you to go do it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16, and what he's saying is, I'm not ashamed of the person of Christ. I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not ashamed that I go to First Assembly of God in Wallace, North Carolina. I'm happy that God put me here. And when I'm out around the people that don't come to church here, I want them to know I'm part of that great church up on the corner. Not because it's beautiful, but because it's full of God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to grow. That's where I want to be known. Where are you going to find Dave Baldwin? If I lived in Wallace, you know where you'd find me in Christ? In First Assembly. Are you listening to me? Paul says, I want to be found in Him. I'm not ashamed to preach Christ. I'm not ashamed to pray for the sick. I'm not ashamed to tell people God loves them. You shouldn't be either, and I hope you're not. He said, I'm not ashamed of the purpose of Christianity. Because Paul was facing some pretty difficult things. We forget that Rome was in an attitude of total debauchery at that time, and it was seeping all over the world. They were worshiping all kinds of idols. And you think we have problems now with unnatural affections and seeing things on TV we shouldn't see or on the internet. Listen, that stuff was going on in every corner of Rome in that time. It was full of debauchery. Paul had been there. He knew that. He'd seen it. People think Paul was a little guy who grew up in a bubble and he never saw anything bad. Let me tell you something. Paul saw it. He was no stranger to the degradation of humanity. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he took the gospel right in there where they were. Most preachers wouldn't come anywhere near those things anymore. And that is a shame. He said, I'm not ashamed of the power of Calvary. Number one, you must surrender to those scriptures that I gave you tonight if you want to represent Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're representing yourself. Here's a good thought. If you're listening to what I'm saying and you're countering it in your mind, then you're going to leave here and represent yourself. You with me? So those of you that are doing that, you're in for a very difficult night because I caught you. But if you're flowing with me and you're listening to what I say, I'm just giving you word here. And then when you get home tonight, you're going to say to yourself, yeah, I did die. Wait a minute. I'm alive. Brother Dave said, I'm alive because Christ is in me. Well, that's pretty good. If Christ is in me, I'm a new creature. Listen. If I'm a new creature, I don't have to answer to all those thoughts that come into my mind that are anti everything that I know is right. I don't need to listen to that stuff anymore. I can tell all that to go to hell right now. That's how you get your mind right. devil starts pouring junk in your mind, and you need to say, I don't think that stuff anymore. I'm going to get them back. Oh, no, you're not. I'm never going to forgive them. Oh, yes, you are. I hate that. No, you don't. Next time I see them, I'll give them a piece of my mind. Don't give away too many pieces. You may run out. We must surrender to the Word of God and say, okay, if I haven't died yet, then I want to die. Tough stuff, isn't it? Number two, realize that God lives in you. Now that shakes somebody's tree right there. We've talked about this all night. I've probably worn the rug out here talking about it. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have risen with Christ. So I am in him. And he is in me. Realize and recognize the God that lives in you. That doesn't make you a God. Don't misunderstand me or misquote me. Realize that God is alive in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Realize that He's alive in us. Recognize that. Now wait, here He comes. The religious preachers will not tell you this, but I will because I'm not very religious. The religious preachers won't tell you this. Realize that He's alive in you and act like it. Is that right? Act like it. I said act like it. Walk around your yard and say, this is God's land. If you farm, walk on your farm. I dare you to walk the rows in your farm. Up and down, up and down. Say, this farm belongs to God. Walk around. This is a grow. Grow corn, grow whatever you're going to say. Grow, grow, grow. Go to your unsaved kids and say, you're going to get saved soon. No, I'm not saying, yes, you are. Something greater than you've ever thought you could ever be is after you. And He's coming. And I'm not letting go until you find your knees and get saved. See, what's alive in us is more powerful than all this stuff that's happening in Washington. All this stuff that's going on. Do you realize that we affect the world? It's not just this little stuff here and there. It's the world. For God so loved the world that He sent the church. In church, we need to stop sitting around because when He sent Jesus, He sent the church. And that's us. Recognize the God in you and walk like you have God living in you. Well, Brother Baldwin, I don't know about that because that means I have to. Yes, you have to do those things that Jesus did. And He wants you to. He said this. Remember this? John 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, so shall he do, and greater works than these shall you do. For I go unto my Father which is in heaven. In other words, get to work, boys. Get on with it. But what if somebody rejects me? Hallelujah. Just go to the next one. What if they reject you? Say, hallelujah. Don't run up to somebody and say, I got God in me. You'll scare them to death. Let them see the God in you. By the way you live your life and the way you treat people. And lastly, live this great life. Live it. Make it worthwhile. I got God in me. I'm going to go home and get in the corner and just sit there so that nobody will bother me and I won't lose my God inside. I was in IHOP waiting in a long line the other day, and I don't like lines very much. Sorry about that. You thought I was a real holy dude, didn't you? I'm complaining about how long the line is, and here comes this little lady about this big. Little plump little thing, just as sweet as she could be. She looked like an elf. She comes in the door, la-da-da-da, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ma'am, how long is this line going to be? 45 minutes. She says, praise God, hallelujah. Out the door, and there she stood. And she was shaking everybody's hand. Leo, it's the craziest little thing I ever saw in my life. She's just loving on everybody. And here we are, I'm standing there with the director of Rural Rangers for the Assembly of God. Here I am, God's man of faith and power for the hour, and I'm complaining. She's walking around with God inside her. Are you listening to me? Da, 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 praise the Lord. Hi, everybody. Praise the Lord. How long is the wait? 45 minutes. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, she's a Looney Tune, you know? You don't have to be like that. The last time you were somewhere and you thought that you should be waited on before somebody else and you wanted to thump somebody, remember, no thumping. Just be like Jesus. He's giving you an example. And then he sent foolish men like me to preach the gospel to kind of make it real to you a little bit. Make you laugh, make you cry, but the bottom line, you need to walk out of here with what I gave you. This morning and tonight. You need to know, I know a lot of you, and I love you dearly. And I preach this and try to have a little bit of fun with you. But understand this, I can be no more sincere than I have been tonight. I am so sincere about this. I ask the Lord to give me a series of teachings that will help churches, and that the pastors would say to me, I'm not soliciting this, but that the pastors would say to me, thanks, Dave, you helped us. And I begin to pray, and I begin to read and read and read, and the Lord began to direct me on this little study here. I said, well, this is so simple. He said, no, it's not. He said, this will be one of the hardest sermons you'll ever preach, because you're going to tear down more walls in the lives of people than you'll ever realize, even those that seem like they're the elect, because it's the elect that need to tear down. So folks, take it by the Holy Spirit into your spirit and use it.